Amen. How blessed are we to have a Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. So as we move forward in the book of Acts, I really want to hone in on where we're coming from, because I think we're really about to reach the apex or the pinnacle of this story. In Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, we have seen Peter and John heal a lame man. We have seen them boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have seen that they fearlessly stood before the Sanhedrin and told them, no matter what else happens, if we have to choose between our God and you, we're going to choose our God. They were bold. They were brave. Now, as we move forward and look at the fact that the Sanhedrin has released them, I can't help but wonder, if I were in their shoes, how would I respond? What would I be thinking in their place? Would I have the courage to stand strong afterwards? Would I be bold enough to stand up and say, I'm going forward? Would my response be tempered? Would I maybe start looking and thinking of ways where I could kind of fly under the radar, turn my faith into a quiet Christianity, where I could just go, psst, come here. Quiet. I want to tell you about Jesus. Would I be terrified? Would I run? And I have to ask you the same question. When you meet your resistance in life, how are you going to respond? When this happened to Peter and John, this is where they went following being released. In Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So how did they respond? What was the way that they moved? The first thing is they went to the people and reported the threat. Now, this is kind of a big deal, okay? We may overlook it because we might just think like, well, the apostles were looking and they were so excited they wanted to tell somebody how they got to be witnesses for Christ. And there may have been a piece to that, but there was something more to them sharing what had happened. You see, these people were in danger now. Do you ever stop to think about that? They were now in danger because the Sanhedrin had made it very clear. No longer will we tolerate people talking about this Jesus. No longer will we allow this to happen in the temple. No longer will we be willing to let you speak this message. If you do, we will silence you. Now, as a leader, and someone who's led not just in church, but led in the civilian world, so to speak, there is a real sense when something is going wrong as a leader of wanting to keep it to yourself. You don't want to put that worry on everybody else, do you? You want them to be able to just come, do the job, relax, not to worry. And so when Peter and John go to them and they say, hey, listen, you're in danger. They were putting a lot of faith in these people, right? Because you think about it, when things are going wrong, what is the circumstance that most people go to? They instantly want to go to running. When I was working for the Expo Center as a manager, we found out that the building had been sold and that we were all going to be losing our jobs within 4 months. And I was told by my general manager, do not tell the workers that this is happening. I don't want you to tell them. And you know the reason why, right? She was afraid that they would leave, that they'd leave and find jobs. And so I was torn because to me, I have 4 months to find a new job. These people have nothing. And so within me, there was this turmoil of, do I trust those people that work for me? Do I trust them to do the right thing? I called my shift lead for the concession stand in to my office. And I told him, Ricky, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I'm going to because I trust you. I trust in who you are. The Expo Center's closing. In 4 months, it's not going to be here. And I saw his face go white. This is a kid who'd been working there since he was 15 years old. He loved this place. And I looked at him and I said, I just needed you to know because I wanted you to be prepared. He came back to me later after the shock had set in and he goes, you know, if it was anybody other than you that had told me that, I'd have walked out the door. You see, when you trust people, when you have faith in them to do the right thing, they will respond. And so Peter and John put their faith in the church, and they challenged them with the hard things. Why? Why would they do that? Common sense would say our numbers are going to shrink if we tell them that the Sanhedrin is not only kicking you out of the synagogue, but they're going to come after you. It's because that's who their Savior was. That's who Jesus was. In John 6, verses 56 through 66, it says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as a living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and followed him no longer. You see, while our nature might be to try to protect, while our nature might be to try to shelter those we love from the struggles, the resistances, the difficulties that we face in life. Jesus never did it. They came to him and said, I'll follow you anywhere. He said, I don't have a roof over my head. Still coming? Let me bury my father. Let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. I want to be right with God. Fine. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. You see, Jesus was not looking for numbers. He wasn't looking for half-hearted people to come sit in pews, to raise their hands when we're singing, to say prayers, to sit down and do nothing. He was looking for people who would be heartfelt followers, people who would walk in his paths, people who would be willing to stand up and love the unlovable. People who would be willing to walk and talk just like he did. Have compassion for those he had compassion for. To step foot in the places that no one else would go. To tell someone that no one else would say it to, I love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And he wants a better life for you. That's what he was looking for. That is who he was calling us to be. And the fact of the matter is that when I stand up here to preach, I can't give it to you halfway. I can't come here every Sunday and try and make you feel good. I can't come here every Sunday and just preach a fluffy, here's how you feel good about life kind of sermon, because that's not who Jesus was. I have to challenge you. I have to cause you to think about your life and your actions. I have to challenge you to have faith in who God is and what he's trying to do in your life, that he can change those heartaches. He can take away those pains. He can move in your life. But you see, that's who Jesus is. That's what Peter and John did. They said, guys, it's coming. Brothers and sisters, it's coming in our world. We already see the chaos breaking out, don't we? We already see the anxiousness and the tension in our society, don't we? It's coming. Our world around us is in turmoil. Where does peace come from? If it's not from you and me. The second thing that we see Peter and John do is that they answered this threat with prayer. Now, I really want you to recognize the importance of the fact that prayer was their first response. And I'm going to share with you a weakness of mine. And you can amen if you have this problem yourself. I'm okay with that. What I have a tendency to do is I run into difficult situations, resistance, people who are speaking poorly about me or about faith or about those things. And my response is, I've got to stand strong in my faith. I've got to be strong. I've got to be bold. And instantly in that moment, I start feeling anxious. I start feeling like it's all coming down on me. I just got to keep going though. Got to have faith. Got to be bold. Got to step out there. Did you notice the problem with what I'm telling you? There's a lot of me in there, isn't there? A lot of what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to keep my faith. But you notice Peter and John didn't do that, did they? They instantly went to God in prayer. See, in Philippians 4:6, we know this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, we're not strong enough to handle the situations around us. You and I are not strong enough to fix the problems in our community, in our culture, in our country. But you know who is? God is. Jesus is. And so when we face resistance, when we face struggles, when we face these problems, we need to go back to God, because He is the connecting factor to every aspect of who we are as believers. He is where hope comes from. He is where faith comes from. He is where love comes from. He is our connecting factor. And so when we don't turn to God, when we don't go to Him in prayer, what are we saying? I've got it under control. Do we have it under control? Come on, you can say it. Do we have it under control? Who has it under control? God has it under control. It's okay to talk, okay? Just so you know. Just make you. All right. So as we move forward, I think we can learn some really, really wonderful things as we look at the prayer that Peter and John prayed. The first thing they did was they focused on the greatness of God. They focused on the greatness of God. Oh, sovereign Lord! Now, I have to agree with Scott. I love going to the mountains. We've been in the mountains so much, I just feel rejuvenated. And I know the hike did a lot for those that went yesterday. There's something special about being in the trees and smelling the pine air and the energy that you get as you're climbing and pushing your body to the limits. But that's only a small piece. When you think about what they were talking about the whole universe. We have come so far technologically, and yet we have no idea how far our universe reaches. Isn't that something? We have developed microscopes so strong that we can see an atom and recognize DNA. And yet, we still don't fully understand all of these things. See, Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God is so big. He is so much bigger than everything else. The fact of the matter is, when we keep our hearts set in the right place, when we recognize the magnitude of our God, everything else is going to fall into place. You can think whatever you want, but I guarantee you Peter and John were scared. I guarantee it. Because which one of us wouldn't have been? Having a group of people with the power to harm you, telling you, shut up or we're going to hurt you. You can't convince me they weren't scared. But when you keep the big picture, when you recognize that God is above all of this, we start to see how everything shapes out. The second thing is they pointed out the futility of man's plans. You think about it. How long has man thought they were in control? We kind of get this mentality when we don't recognize God that I can manipulate, right? I can have power over you. I can convince you. I can change you. I can mold you. I can shape you. And yet, for everything that they did, everything that Herod did, everything that Pilate did, everything that the Gentile and Jewish people did to try to bring down Jesus, all they did was bring about God's plan on the cross. Brothers and sisters, if we keep this in mind, as we look at resistance and those who would step out against us, there's nothing they can say or do to topple us, because we know our God created everything. That our God is over the plans of men. And they called for the power of the Spirit. They prayed for boldness, they prayed for healing, and they prayed for miraculous things to happen. Now I want you to think about this. Because I think sometimes we really, really get mixed up. Can God do everything he says he can do? Can God do everything he says he can do? If God can do everything he says he can do, then that means that God is powerful enough to make you bold if you ask him to be bold. God is powerful enough to heal if you will allow him to use you as a vessel to heal. God is powerful enough to bring miraculous changes in our town, our country, our world, if we just believe. Why don't we believe? Why do we doubt that things can change? Why do we look at our world and say it's gloom and doom when God has told us that he is in control? Brothers and sisters, the simple truth of the matter is that God is capable of all of these things, and that very day he showed it, didn't he? The third point, the Holy Spirit filled his people. Now, I want you to picture yourself in that room. You've been a part of this prayer, and all of a sudden, the ground starts shaking underneath you, and you feel this rumble, and you recognize something powerful, that the Spirit moved the ground underneath your feet. You see, the reality, the plain and simple reality of our world is this. The ground's going to shake. The ground is going to shake. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, for you, how is it going to shake? Because if we don't have boldness, our faith is what will be shaken. Our world will beat us down and make us fearful and cause our faith to crumble around us. But what if we're bold? What if we believe? What if we have confidence that the Spirit is going to move? It's not us that's going to be shaken, it's going to be the world. Brothers and sisters, there's a community out here that needs Jesus Christ more than anything else. We were blessed the other day. We had worship practice on Friday, and we had the doors open because it was hot and we didn't want to turn on the AC. And we had a gentleman who walked in and told me, I'm not religious, but I wanted to hear them sing. You don't think the Spirit's moving? We need to wake up. Wake up. We are the watchmen. God has called us to step out boldly and in faith in our community, and I believe in what he can do. I believe that he is going to move in our community and that he wants us to be a part of it. So the question is, what's going to shake? Is it going to be our faith, or is it going to be the world around us? See, in James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, that the person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, for such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Let's shake the world.